Ellis gets involved, forcing a knock-on, and New York, the concrete jungle where dreams are made of, one of the greatest cities in the world, are now home to the champions of Major League Rugby. It's been 4 years in the making, and a new chapter in MR history written by these Warriors. And what a send-off for Rugby World Cup winner, All Black legend Andy Ellis in his last ever professional game.
New York's on fire, got the best is there to fire. New York's on fire, got the best is there to fire. New York's on fire.
Yes, New York's on fire indeed. 10:04 here on Mornings with Smithy on SENZ. Smithy is away. Ricardo Ball in for him. And just because we didn't feel like one Ricardo was enough to get us through our Monday morning, Ricardo Solizzo is joining us, the CEO, the big boss man of New York Rugby. G'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. A little bit tired.
I bet. Did you sleep at all, or are you still going?
No, I'm the responsible one. In fact, I was talking to one of his players, and he was telling me about his father, and then I realised I'm the same age as his father. So, I was home on the couch at 9:30 last night. It was a midday kickoff, which was fantastic. So, finished up early.
Yeah, mate. Well, congratulations. It must be incredibly rewarding to get over the line and win the first championship with Rugby New York, all the work that you've put in to that franchise over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a really tough competition. Like, there's it's so equal. All the teams are pretty equal, and there's a lot of travel, you know, and they're long distances, you know. So when we go to the West Coast, it's a sort of 6-hour flight, and you do that on the Friday and play on the Saturday. So it's a draining competition for everyone, and it seems like it goes forever. I mean, we started early January, and we've only just finished. So, and for us, Andy Ellis, you know, the All Black halfback, Crusader legend, this one was for him. That he came over with me, you know, a couple of years ago, and has been alongside me, and just, you know, I always knew he was a great player, and you know, watching him from afar and watching what he'd achieved with the Crusaders and the All Blacks, but without a doubt, one of the greatest rugby men I've ever met in my life, and the boys were determined to put him out in the style he deserved.
Well, Rick, we all know that you could sell ice to people who live in the Arctic Circle, my friend. Have you started the charm offensive yet? Is he signing on for one more?
Well, you know, I think he's 107 now, so I'm not sure. I live in the same apartment block, and I'd see him the day after a game. You know, he's one of those guys that never shows any pain, but you'd see him. It's a tough competition. We play on the AstroTurf a lot, you know, so it's tough on the bodies. I can think of no better way for him to finish. You know, he scored a try, was man of the match, was the guy that forced the turnover at the end of the game. It was just like a fairy tale, and it was everything he deserves.
It was Roy of the Rovers, but rugby, basically.
Yeah. God, you are old. I remember Roy of the Rovers, Tiger magazine.
I am old, mate. I am old. It is official. What next then for Andy? Does he have a role in the organisation, or do you think he'll come home?
Look, I mean, probably both, you know. He'll be the first person I talk to about rugby betters. He's just got such a great mind for the game, but he's such a competitor. And, you know, when I brought him over, one of the reasons I brought him over is because he's a great teacher. He teaches everyone around him about how to play the game, the skills required, but what it is to be a top pro. And, so he's obviously been one of our better players, but he's influenced every other player in the squad, you know, be them US Eagles players or the two young American halfbacks that we've got. You know, he'll certainly leave his mark.
He's not the only former All Black in the ranks, of course. Waisaki Naholo and Nihi Milne-Scudder over there as well, mate. Are they there long term? Do you think you'll have them next season?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd love to. I mean, they came over for the tail end of the season. Two of my favourite players actually to watch, and And again, great men, you know. And so they came over, and I think we had five or six games to go, and we had some injuries, and you know, at the time there were no opportunities for them in Super, so that they just weren't playing, and we needed some players, and they put their hands up, and yeah, they just slotted them beautifully, and it's fantastic to have them here.
In terms of what next for New York Rugby, mate, I mean, what is it, or Rugby New York, as I should say it correctly, but you've lifting the MLR shield for the first time. Is this the first step on the road to some sort of dynasty? What's the planning look like for you right now?
Yeah, so it's Sunday here. I'll have the rest of the afternoon off, and then we'll get into it on Monday. I think all the clubs here, we're all trying to beat each other, obviously, but at the same time, there's this massive sense of responsibility about being part of the growth of rugby in the US, and, you know, with the World Cup coming here in 2031. Yesterday was a great game. Seattle really came to play, and we were lucky enough to be able to play it on Red Bull Arena, which is one of the best stadiums I've ever been involved in my life. You know, I mean, New Zealand should come and have a look at this stadium. It is just incredible. You know, it's a 25,000 seat stadium, something like that. The facilities are just second to none, and the field was incredible. So, you know, we were really conscious that it was important that it was a high quality game, because we wanted to show that American rugby and Major League Rugby and everything that's associated with it is on the way up, and it certainly is.
Now, round around, I mean, I talked to you a little while ago about the competition, and round around you're getting, you know, home games, maybe a couple of thousand to a home game. I mean, Red Bull Arena is a big stadium, mate. I mean, what was the crowd like for this Major League Rugby Grand Final?
Yeah, we had similar sort of 2,000 to 3,000. Because we only knew that we were playing there. So we qualified on a Sunday, and then on Monday I had to start looking for a stadium. Oh. And so in New York, you don't survive if you don't think big. So the first call was to MetLife Stadium, which is about, I don't know, 100,000 capacity, 90,000, I don't know, it's huge. They were booked up. So then the next one was Red Bull Arena. So we just said, yeah, we'll take it, thanks.
Yeah, make it look good, mate. Make it look good. Let's try and fill it. Let's try and fill it. I mean, the Seattle Seawolves, I don't know how much support they brought with them, but they're a Major League Rugby organisation who certainly are moving in the right direction. They've been quite dominant over there, and they have an agreement, I believe, with the Crusaders in terms of maybe loaning a couple of players and getting some coaching know-how and a bit of an exchange program going on. Is that something that you've looked into with Rugby New York as well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that was in the early stages. So Seattle won the first two competitions. They're a great organisation, and in the early days they did have that link. I'm not sure if it's there anymore. I do know one of their players from Tasman. So Tasman brought a young team across a couple of years ago, and he made an impression. He got signed. We have a really great relationship with quite a few of the New Zealand franchises and unions. So, you know, we have a couple of players from Manawatu, you know, of the Young Blues First Five, and Jack Hayton, a young up-and-coming Otago Lock, and Will Tucker. You know, those two guys are, you know, I'd love to see them back, but I'd also love to see them playing Super Rugby next season. This is a great opportunity for New Zealand players, because our season dovetails nicely with the NPC, and so, you know, a handful of our players will come up here and play, and then they'll come back and play NPC, so that gives them a 12-month of the year contract. And it's also a great opportunity for guys on the way up, you know, that are perhaps not, or maybe weighing up between holding tackle bags in a wider training group with Super Rugby, or they're coming up here, getting out of your comfort zone and really getting some rhythm to your game by playing week after week. And that's what's happened to Jack Hayton. You know, he's a young North Harbour 10 who's you know, played for us most weeks, started most weeks, and really, you know, again, playing outside Andy Ellis has just been so good for his development. And I'm really excited to see what he does when he gets back for North Harbour and hopefully into Super Rugby.
I mean, for Kiwis who haven't watched much of it, what's the level like for Major League Rugby? Is it sort of equivalent to NPC?
Yeah, I think so. It's a hard one to say because, you know, you have some good games and bad games in any competition. But, you know, I think a good game of MLR rugby is certainly equivalent to a good game of NPC. And there's some really good players over here, not just from New Zealand, but from South Africa and you know, England and Australia. But the quality of the domestic players is really high too. It's because, you know, if you're playing for San Diego, you're learning from Ma Nonu, you know, and Chris Robshaw. So, you know, if you're at, you know, in Houston, you're being coached by Heineke Meyer. So it's really the foreign players over here and the foreign coaches are really helping grow the American players. I think we've got three or four guys out of our squad that have in the Eagles team at the moment. And a couple in the wider training group that will probably get a game this season. So that's an area where these guys are really helping is the standard of American players. We've got a Canadian wing, Andrew Coe, who I think he'd be comfortable playing Super Rugby. So, you know, there are some good domestic players here.
In terms of the structure and things, I mean, we're looking at the moment, you know, Australia are making noises about after 2023, they're saying goodbye to New Zealand and striking out on their own. And the question has been asked about what does New Zealand rugby do if that happens. A lot of talk about, obviously, the islands having a lot of players, but you need money and broadcast revenue. And the US looks like a place that you could go for that. I mean, how far away do you think the US are from being ready to have maybe a couple of Super Rugby teams that could run around in a competition like that?
Yeah, I mean, for the first thing, you know, I'm never quite sure if, you know, you worry too much about what you're hearing out of Australian rugby officials. They're pretty good at smoke screens and winding you up. You know, I haven't met an Australian that can't wind a Kiwi up. But yeah, look, I think definitely, you know, there's some opportunities. I think, you know, over time, you'll see that the traditional power bases of, you know, the Northern Hemisphere in the UK, then, you know, the Southern Hemisphere, New Zealand, Australia, the thing that's in the middle of both of them is the US. You know, we're just as close to London as we are to Los Angeles.
Mm.
So, you know, I think, and LA is not too far away from Auckland.
No.
So there's some real opportunities there in the future.
I think it'd be interesting to see what does happen from there. And you're right about Hamish McLennan. We had Jeremy Paul on, who said it was the worst idea he had ever heard, which was quite good. What about you, Rick? Just finally, I mean, you're obviously loving life in New York, and you're CEO of Rugby New York. But I mean, have you got aspirations outside of that? I mean, are you going to come back here and rattle some cages and take over as a CEO of a Super Rugby team at some point? And work your way up.
Could you imagine it? Oh no! Like I didn't actually quite plan on having this job. I don't know. I mean, I do love living in New York, and it's a really interesting place. That, you know, in New Zealand, we're the masters of understatement, and we really, you know, have this humility, and it's really important that you don't ever tell anyone how good you are. Here in New York, it's exactly the opposite. You know, you behave like that, people just trample over you. You know, if you don't think big, if you don't go hard, then people just don't respect you. And I'm learning every day over here. It's the center of the world in terms of sports marketing and fan engagement. And you know, every time you go to a game, you go to a Brooklyn Nets game, the next day you get a phone call from someone saying if you enjoyed it. And then you get an email saying, you know, send us your thoughts on your experience. And by the way, do you want to buy 5 more tickets? And then once they've got you, you know, I'm getting offered I got a ticket offer to the Brooklyn Nets Arena for like three different rappers, none of whom I've heard of, but all of whom I've been told are quite a big deal. So I'm happy here learning and just having some fun, you know. But you know, I'm in New Zealand home, and I can't wait to get back at some stage and see what happens next.
Yeah, good stuff, Rick. Hey, listen, thanks very much for coming on, mate. Really appreciate it on your Sunday. We'll let you go and continue to nurse last night, mate. But congratulations again, and look forward to seeing what's next.
Thanks, Ricardo, and thanks for reminding me of what day it was.